Parsha. It's our first double Parsha of the season. Vayakal Pekudei. Take a look at the sheets. It's Vayakal's on one side, Pekudei's on the other side. I want to talk a little bit about Vayakal Pekudei. I want to say over an idea I heard many years ago from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal. Although I have to admit that the end, remember we had a debate in yeshiva at some point later on. It was a couple of years later. We were debating exactly how Rav Lichtenstein ended the sicha that he gave, and we had two very different approaches as to what he said at the end, like how it's supposed to fit in. So we went and we asked him, and it turned out that I was on the wrong side. He had actually ended it differently, but nevertheless, I still think, hopefully, that there's some validity to the other ending, and I'm going to choose to a certain extent that that other ending. Arguably, Vayakal Pekudei seems to be two of the most redundant parshiot that we come across. There seems to be very, very little new information. In Truma and Tetzaveh, the Torah tells us about how to build the Mishkan and how to make the big day kahuna. And in Vayakal Pekudei, it tells us how they built the Mishkan and how they made the big day kahuna. And basically, there are some slight differences, but basically, whatever we were told in Truma and Tetzaveh, we're told again in Vayakal and Pekudei. And sometimes even then, within Vayakal Pekudei, it's repetition. You can take a look at a standard Chumash, and you'll see that in many places there's very little Rashi, because Rashi already explained everything in Truman Tetzaveh. And you have to ask yourself, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that after telling us everything in Truman Tetzaveh, it could have been so much shorter, and to be Mavre Sedrik, Kriyas HaTorah could be much less if it said, Vayas Moshe B'nei Yisrael, Vayasu Moshe B'nei Yisrael, Kuchol Asher Tziva Hashem. They built the Mishkan to this, to that, to that, to that. Give me 10 psukim, 15 gamarnu, at kol inyan. You have to start telling me exactly how the krushim and how the adonim and how the oel and the mikseh and the big dekuna and the tzitz and the eifel and the choshim, we know already. Look back in Parsha Truma. Why is it necessary to tell me all over again all the details? So Rav Lichtenstein suggested the following mashal that might help us understand Vayakal Pekudei. So I'll share with you the mashal. There's this couple, not yet a couple, a man and a woman who meet each other, and they start dating, and things get serious, and Baruch Hashem, they get engaged. And they go planning to get married. But amongst everything else, they have to get the furnishings for their new apartment. So they rent an apartment. And they have to go out and get all the furnishings. So they go and they go shopping together. And it's just a very exciting time. Now, everybody but the couple might think that this is funny, but for the couple, you know, they're going to go out to buy, and this is going to be their milchika dishes. These are our dishes, right? And these are going to be our fleishika dishes. And this is going to be our, that's milky and meaty, for those of you who don't speak milchika fleishika, right? This is going to be our milchika silverware, and this is going to be our fleishika silverware. And these are going to be our pot holders, right? These are our pot holders. And we have our own shower curtain, and the bath mat matches the shower curtain, and it's all that. And they go out and they buy the sheets and the pillowcases and they need to get some blinds for the room. And it's everything that they buy, the dish racks, the sink strain, it's their sink strainers. It's just, and they come and they're setting up the apartment. And as they're setting up the apartment, why is it so exciting? Because everything there, in a certain way, because it's theirs together, is an expression of the great love that they have for each other. And it's so meaningful and so wonderful. And just looking around at everything, the furnishings that they have, some of the clothing that they buy. This is going to be, we're going to wear their Sheva brachas, we're going to wear this, and the suit. And it's really just such a wonderful feeling that it gives to both he and her everything that they have. The big wedding day comes, and Baruch Hashem, it's a great wedding. It's an amazing wedding. It's the most wonderful day in their entire lives. But shortly after the wedding, the husband has to go on a somewhat extended business trip. Couldn't be there, couldn't postpone it. So very soon after the wedding, the husband leaves, and he's away on this extended business trip. And the wife is waiting for the husband to get back, but she gets lonely. And yes, she wants to wait. She gets more and more lonely. And after a number of weeks that the husband is still away and hasn't come back yet, she does something terrible. Something horrible. Out of her loneliness, she has an affair. It's just a one-night stand, as they say. Just a brief thing, a fling. But it was a terrible, terrible indiscretion. Shortly after this happens, the husband returns and he finds out about it. He's so angry. He's so upset. He just wants to kill her. Literally. He wants to kill her. So a mutual friend comes and says, "No, you can't kill again." He says, "Okay, I won't kill, but I don't have anything to do with her. Nothing. I'm finished with her. That's it. How could she?" And here, by the way, just to point out, the mashal deviates from the halacha, because the halacha is that if she intentionally had an affair, he has to divorce her. But this is a story. So in the story, this mutual friend, slowly but surely, day after day, week after week, talks to the husband, saying, "Listen, she really loves you. It was a terrible thing that she did. It really was, but it was such an indiscretion that she was just lonely, and you have to find it in your heart to forgive her, and you can still build a life together." And slowly but surely, he wears down the opposition of the husband. And after many weeks, the husband says, "Okay, I'll agree to meet her." And they go and they have a meeting, and the wife is just terribly distraught. She apologizes. She says, to give her another chance. And in the meantime, the mutual friend is trying to move things along. And eventually, it takes a number of months, but eventually the husband says, "Okay, let's give it another chance." And they get back together. The husband comes back to move into that apartment. He had left the apartment, now he comes back. And he looks around the apartment, and everything is the same. But nothing is the same. Yes, it's the same dishes and the same silverware, the same shower curtain, the same sheets, the same pillowcases, the same bath mat. But it's not the same. Because once those represented such intense, pure love that they had for each other, and now, yes, he's going to work and giving it another chance, but something is missing. Something that once was isn't there anymore. And you see, the man is the Ribono Shel Olam, and the woman is Bnei Yisrael. And there's Yitziat Mitzrayim, and they're getting engaged. And then there's this great wedding. called Matan Torah. It's the most amazing event ever. But then Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kavyochol, goes on a business trip. They don't have that direct contact that they had when Moshe Rabbeinu was there. And they lost that direct contact. And a week passes, and 2 weeks pass, and 3 weeks pass, and 39 days pass. Bnei Yisrael are lonely. They feel abandoned. So they have a one-night affair with an Egel Azav. It's terrible. It's horrible. The Kadosh Baruch Hu returns, so to speak, to their midst, and he wants to destroy them. He wants to kill them. And the mutual friend, my friend, Moshe Rabbeinu, comes along. And he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, you don't kill him. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay. But I don't have anything to do with them. And he mediates for days, for weeks. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay. So maybe there's something to talk about. We'll make some other, a second set of luchot. And another 40 days. And finally on Yom Kippur, Hashem says, Salachti kidvarecha. So now let's give it another chance. But what happens when they return? You see, you have Parshat, Truma, and Tetzaveh, which described all the furnishings that they had. Everything about the Mishkan. It was their krushim and their adonim. Right? It was their menorah and their shulchan. Their aron. Their urias. Their Mishkan. Their kodesh hakadoshim, their parochet, their masa. And it was their tzitz and their eifod. And the choshen. And then came Kitisa. Came the Cheta Ege. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Salachti kidvarecha. What happens after Parshat Kitisa? And here I have to admit, I'm going to take a different path than Rav Lichtenstein suggested. The Torah comes along in Vayakel Pekudei to tell us that the Nimshol isn't like the Mashal. See, a human being has only a certain degree of Midat HaRachamim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midat HaRachamim is boundless. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Salachti kidvarecha, we go to Vayakel Pekudei, and the Torah tells us, again, how to build the menorah, describes the menorah, the shulchan, the yaron, the Mizbeach HaKtoris, the Mizbeach HaChitzom, the Krashim and the Adonim and the Begadim. And it's all the same. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koach of the Midas HaRachamim is such that if he's willing to say Salachti Kidvarecha, we can actually turn the clock back. And we can once again instill within all those objects the same love that existed between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam that existed in Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh. Yes, Vayakel Pekudei seems to be very repetitive. It seems exactly the same thing. But the message of saying the exact same thing is an unbelievable, beautiful message for us. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he says Salachti Kedvarecha, can come back and put things back the way they were. It's true if Lichtenstein comes along and says things aren't exactly the same way. And Chazal do say that they weren't precisely the same. But not being precisely the same doesn't mean that we can't come along and say that the love is, again, a very intense and a very beautiful love that we once had. We shouldn't have to need that Midas HaRachem. The message is the Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much that even when we falter, even when we fail, even when we make mistakes, even when we make big mistakes, whether it's as an individual or as a nation, Kadosh Baruch Hu is just waiting for us to say we're sorry, to mean it. And when we're able to do that, we can once again have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bocher Ba'amu Yisrael Bi'ahava.